from HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 270, recorded live Thursday, June 9th, 2011. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik R80 Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott talks with open source developer Andreas Håkansson about his .NET Micro Web framework called Nancy.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. And today we're going to be talking about a Sinatra-inspired web framework for the .NET platform. It's called Nancy. If you're familiar with Sinatra, then you understand why it's named Nancy. We're actually talking long distance to Andreas Håkansson, also known as the Code Junkie. And if you've seen him on Twitter, you're familiar with his avatar that he uses everywhere. How are you, Andreas? Thanks for talking to us today.
Hello, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Very, very well. So Nancy is the name of your framework, and it's inspired by Sinatra. What is Sinatra?
Sinatra is a web framework, Ruby web framework for building building websites with minimal effort. It's a very low ceremony approach to building websites.
What does that mean, low ceremony?
There's not a lot of setup and configuration you have to do to get started. Basically, you just type a couple of lines of code and you've got a basic website up and running.
Well, what's an example of something that's high ceremony? I mean, that's an interesting word. Sometimes Ruby folks use words like, you know, ceremony and aesthetic and beauty and things like that. Why is it important to have low ceremony, and what is an example of the opposite of that?
I build websites for a living, and I use web forms and ASP.NET MVC, and so that's like the background I came from. And sometimes the framework really like gets in the way for the things you really want to do. Like you have to do a lot of configuration or set up this and that and drop controls everywhere or wire up stuff. So just do basic stuff. And so I wanted a way to do that on the .NET framework without all the fuss.
Is that, you mean fuss like a web config file or fuss like a bunch of preparation? I mean, was it your goal to strip this down to the simplest possible thing you could?
Oh yeah, definitely. We don't want the web framework to get in the way of what you really want to do. It's like build a website, so you shouldn't have to create like three or four files just to get a text on a page, or go into a config file and say I'm going to use this and that. And So with Nancy, you can just create a single file, write two lines of code, three lines of code, and you're done.
Now you use the term web framework, but the folks that are listening might be web forms programmers, or they might be MVC programmers. There are probably a few Java and Ruby folks. Are we talking about serving web pages, or is this some other kind of web framework?
You could say it's for building web pages, but you could just use Nancy like a backend, a JSON backend for a AJAX-driven website, or you could use it to build a RESTful endpoint or whatever you want to do. Serving HTML contents is just one thing you can do with Nancy. It doesn't have to be.
So I guess what I'm trying to understand is this a data services endpoint? Is this something I would use instead of maybe WCF or along with? I'm trying to understand the bigger picture, the larger story here. It doesn't seem like it's something I would use in replacement of ASP.NET, but if I had some application like a Gmail or a Twitter, or I had a Windows phone or an iPhone, and I wanted to make JSON calls, that I could use Nancy as the endpoint that I would talk to get my data, like you just said, like a JSON data service. So is this services-oriented or page-oriented?
But it's also a replacement for like MVC or ASP.NET web forms. You can build entire websites on Nancy, or if you're on Ruby, you can use Sinatra. So the kind of frameworks works for building websites as well, like we support all the different view engines and all that for serving up HTML content.
Interesting, interesting. So the basic or the Hello World Nancy that people typically see is someone goes and makes a new class, so you know, public class Scott, and they derive from Nancy module. They make a constructor, and then in that constructor, they immediately start defining routes. So right there, it is different from ASP.NET MVC, where by default, routes are centralized. Here, you create the routes and what the routes do and the work that is being done all in the same line. So basically, hello world is one line. You basically say get, you open a square bracket, you put in the path that you want it to respond to, and then you write a lambda that says, here's what I want you to do. So I could say get forward slash hello world, return hello world, and basically I've written a Nancy site. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. We try to make the web framework stay in the background for you, or the framework stay in the background for you and like give you some help to do stuff. So when you like just return hello world, internally Nancy will take care of setting up HTTP headers and a response body and all that for you.
Is this something that is, I see that it uses an HTTP request handler, but is this something that's tied to ASP.NET MVC, or might I want to use this somewhere else?
So we built Nancy to be host agnostic, so you can run it basically wherever you want. We have our own request and response object. So Nancy uses a concept that we call hosts that it's more or less an adapter between IIS and Nancy. So you could host Nancy on top of like ASP.NET with the HTTP request handler. And it would translate the HTTP request to a Nancy request, pass it in, and when Nancy responds, it converts the response to something that ASP.NET can understand. But you can just as well host it on anything. Like we have hosts for running Nancy on top of WCF. We have a host that we call the self-host that is basically built on top of a HTTP listener. So you could embed Nancy into a desktop application if you want to and expose a HTTP-based API to your application or a small web server in your application as well. So you can basically run Nancy on top of whatever you want. We support a host for the OWIN or Open Web Interface for .NET. So once we start to get OWIN running on different servers, Nancy can run on top of that out of the box as well.
Now we talked actually to Benjamin Vanderveen and some of the OWIN folks at a couple of shows ago. And the idea that they had was, I think it's similar to the concept called Rack in Rails, which is the thing that you have that's serving your services or your web pages shouldn't necessarily be directly tied to your web server. So they have a very thin layer such that, you know, there's Rails, there's the little tiny adapter, and then there's the web server. So OWIN appears to be a little web layer that you would write to. A little adapter, and then I could have IIS or Apache or whatever else, or some tiny web server. There's lots of little small web servers, including some C# example web servers. Is OWIN moving forward? Is it happening such that I could make my web application slightly more portable?
Oh, I talked to Benjamin yesterday about it, and he's working on getting his web server Kayak running on the latest specifications. We can start running Nancy on top of Kayak instead. So in terms of Nancy and OWIN, where OWIN is an abstraction layer from whatever you're running it on, we add an additional abstraction layer from Nancy. So we can run Nancy on ASP.NET, WCF, or whatever, but we also have an adapter that allows us to communicate with a OWIN host. So once the OWIN starts running on different servers like Kayak or whatever servers there are out in the .NET ecosystem, Nancy will be able to run on top of it.
Hmm. Now I'm noticing a lot of interest in this space lately, and I think for folks that aren't kind of deeply involved in the .NET community, or folks who maybe aren't on Twitter or kind of paying attention, I think there's a, you know, for every one of you or I, there's probably 100 or 1,000 folks that are, you know, just doing their jobs and trying to get things done. And then every once in a while, they'll listen to a show like this one here, and they'll say, wait a second, there's Sinatra, and there's Nancy, and there's Martin, and there's Manos, and there's Owen. What is all this stuff? For example, I know that there's one called Manos, which is a web application framework that is a kind of standalone small application. There's one called Martin, which is similar to Sinatra and similar to Nancy. There's Kayak. There's also Open Rasta, which has been around, arguably probably the one that's been around, the alternative that's been around for the longest time. How does one keep track of all these, and how do I pick one? It seems like it's almost, picking one of these would be a little dangerous, because how do I know it's not going to be dead in a year?
Well, I guess that's always a risk you're taking. We decided to license Nancy under the MIT license, so it's probably as free as it can get. So it's open source. The community can do whatever it wants with it. Should I, for some unknown reason, lose interest in Nancy, the community can carry on if they want to. We're already starting to get a pretty decent community that's contributing to Nancy. And, I mean, it's always a risk if you choose an open source project, but yeah, I'm not sure what to say. Some will probably stay longer than others. So,
is that something that you think is reasonable to tell the, you know, kind of the average Joe out there who's trying to decide about using an open source project? I mean, you had said, well, maybe you lose interest, which is one thing, or, you know, you could disappear. I think we've all followed people on the internet, programmers who, you know, you go to their blog and you haven't seen a thing in a year, and maybe the person disappeared, or they moved to another country, or they lost control of the domain, or maybe they just got hit by a bus. Do you think that smaller projects are safer projects to use in a business? Like, if I have an enterprise and I decide to use Nancy, is it safer because it's only, you know, some number of thousands of lines of code versus maybe a giant framework or something large like MVC or .NET Nuke or something like that? Should lines of code and size of project go into how I decide to use something?
You should probably factor it in, because if the project loses support, you can always continue supporting it by working on the source code yourself, and the smaller code base you have, the easier it will be to understand and pick up, and you don't have to lose a lot of time to figure out all the mechanics of a framework. So, of course, if you have clean code for your lines of code, good documentation, it's probably a better bet to use. But, mm-hmm. I mean, which framework you choose, probably will come down to what you need out of your framework. Like you mentioned earlier, there are starting to appear a lot of different alternatives. You mentioned a few, and there's a bunch of other Sinatra-like or different style frameworks popping up. And what differentiates them is probably the opinions you want, the vision you have for the framework. For Nancy, we have a certain vision of how we want websites or web endpoints to be built. And if that suits your needs, then maybe Nancy is a good fit for you. If ASP.NET MVC is fulfilling all your goals, then I see no reason why to migrate.
Recent developments in the .NET world have opened up a niche for a free .NET decompiling tool. And if you, like so many other developers, have been looking for an alternative .NET decompiler, you're certainly welcome to watch the launch of Just Decompile. It's a new powerful tool. It's going to be free forever. It's currently available in beta. Just Decompile offers a .NET decompiling and assembly browsing, code analysis, navigation, side-by-side assembly loading, automatically updates, and even better decompiling accuracy than you're used to. It's by leading .NET vendor Telerik, our sponsors, and it's got a very aggressive release schedule and a roadmap, all based on community feedback. You can visit the Just Decompile feature suggestion forum, let Telerik know what features you'd like to see added, or vote on one suggested by your peers. The launch will be in the summer, and you can check them out at telerik.com/.netdecompiling. What do you think about some of the new Microsoft stuff that's being worked on? I know that Glenn Block is working on a web API, and he's been working closely with the Owen folks and talking to them on their Google group a lot. Do you think that there's room for a whole lot of these? I mean, there's at least six that I can think of, these small micro web frameworks. Is there room for them, or should Microsoft pick one, or should Microsoft stop working on their own? I'm curious, as a person who kind of has a horse in the race, as it were, what you think about that.
I've known Glenn for a long time, and ever since back in his meth days, and I've checked out the stuff they've done, and I've talked to him a lot about it, and I think they're doing great work about it. I think the Microsoft stack needs something like this. I mean, it all comes down to your needs. In some enterprises, corporations, using open source probably will never be an option. You probably won't get to use anything unless it's supported by Microsoft. And in those cases, I'd rather be able to use like the web API or something like the web API, because I like the approach they're taking, than being forced to use, web forms. If you're able to pick and choose from the open source community as well, then again, it comes down to the style of how you want to do stuff. If your vision of how to build the stuff you want to build, like, matches the vision of the project. So I definitely think there's a room. I like diversity. We don't see, the guys that are working on NASA, we don't see like the web API or FUBU MVC or OpenRost as competition, because frankly, people should choose what fits their needs. And if it's NASA for one project, good for us. If it's FUBU MVC for another project, good for them. So I've talked to Glenn a lot. I've talked to Jeremy Miller about FUBU and NASA, and Sebastian for OpenRost, and Jackson for Monos. And everybody, I get the impression that everybody feels the same, because we share ideas and help out and solve problems, and it just works out fine.
Do you think that one will win? Because I remember that about a year and a half ago, we were all wondering between jQuery and MooTools and MochiKit and YUI and all these kinds of things. And then we blinked and a year went by, and then there was only jQuery. Do you think about stuff like that, like we did when we think about JavaScript libraries, or do you just kind of go on and you'd make the best framework that you can make, and then whatever happens, happens?
Yeah, like I said, we're not trying to compete, and if NASA becomes the mostly used one, then sure, we'll be happy about that, because we believe in the framework and we're passionate about it. And of course, we want as many people as possible to use what we're building. And I don't think there's room for like 10 or 12 to become mainstream, but a couple of them are probably going to do better than the rest of them. And mm-hmm. Most likely not because one is much better than the other, because, like you said, with jQuery and the other frameworks, it just took off.
I was looking at a blog post by a fellow named Mike Hadlow, who wrote a blog post called "An Explosion of Alternative Web Frameworks," and basically noticed all of these different frameworks like Nancy and Nina and Owen and Manos. And one of the things that I thought was interesting that he said in his blog post was, he said that, we've had Monorail for a number of years, and then also there's FUBU MVC, and there's OpenRasta. And he called out OpenRasta as, and this is a quote, "the only one that attempted to break away from the stranglehold of ASP.NET and build its own HTTP abstraction." I think stranglehold is a little bit harsh, but how important is it for a .NET framework, specifically, a .NET framework, to not run on ASP.NET?
Well, if you're running on ASP.NET, you're probably confined to IIS as well. I think IaaS is a great tool, but not for everything. I'd like to be able to build smaller stuff, maybe on Kayak. And we've definitely tried to break free from ASP.NET in NANSI. We're targeting client profile when we're building our framework. So we have no dependencies on system.web at all. We provide our own abstractions if you want. We're also able to run on Mono. We've had NANSI run on OS X and Linux on different web servers. And I think it's quite... Again, it depends on the size of your organization and what you're doing. More people are doing startups on Mono now, and I think that's a good option to let you choose if you want which operating system and which web servers you want to run, and you can pick the one that fits your wallet more or less.
I guess I'm trying to understand that again. I work for Microsoft. But at the same time, I've only been there 3 years, so I'm not trying to be a apologist, like, hey, what's the big deal? But it doesn't, I just don't see the stranglehold of IIS. Is it the stranglehold of the licensing that you have to pay for it? And then you just, you know, you might want to go Mono, you might want to go something smaller. Or is it just one of those things that is just a good idea to abstract away your integration points?
Again, I think people should be able to decide which hosting environment fits their needs the best. And we decided on this very early on in NANSI just to provide the abstraction ourselves. So if people wanted to use ASP.NET, we're more than happy to help you because we provide the hosting to do so. And if you want to run on Mono on Apache or Nginx or whatever, and then... we want to help you do that as well. I mean, we don't want to say if you're going to use NANSI, you have to use this operating system, this web server, this database, and whatever. I mean, that's not for us to choose. We're not that opinionated.
Okay, that makes sense to me. That kind of resonates. The idea that who are we to tell you what you want to use or don't want to use. So give them the flexibility to choose, and then they'll make the decision that they feel like making.
Yeah, probably maybe 90% end up using Windows and IIS, and that's totally fine because, to be honest, the investment we've made to make it possible to run on different configurations isn't that big. So because we started fresh, we basically got it free.
That's cool. I noticed another thing that was blogged. It was blogged, I'm not sure who this fellow is here. I can't tell. He doesn't actually have his name on his blog. But he basically is blogging about a tweet that Rob Connery sent out where he says, a .NET Sinatra clone is the new black. Actually, here it is. His name is Martin Rue at invalidcast.com. And he says, a .NET Sinatra clone is the new black. Are you familiar with that term, with something is the new black?
Oh, yeah.
So he's basically saying that this is a very, very stylish thing to do, and that creating your own Sinatra clone is a good way to kind of explore the space and see what you can do with it. And he's looking at this explosion a little differently. What was it about Sinatra that made you want to make NANSI? Was it the syntax, or was it the challenge of making your own framework?
No, I definitely like the syntax a lot. Like you mentioned before, you combine the intent and action, I guess you could say, in a single line of code if you want to. It's very... Sinatra and NANSI applications, and I can't speak for other inspired frameworks, usually have very little code in them as well. So, and they work well for, even if you're building a larger website or if you're like doing an Ajax or a JSON endpoint or whatever, it works out pretty well. And you don't get more than you need. We've tried to build NANSI in a way that we've got a very light core, but we provide, I guess you could call them extensions. We don't have a good name for it. that you can plug into Nasty. And like, you know, we have a sort of a request response pipeline that helps you jack in stuff as well. I would say session support. We support sessions, but you'll have to opt in to get it. If you don't need it, you don't need a code eater for it. Or different authentication approaches, or different kinds of view engines, or could be whatever.
How do I serialize objects? Let's say I've got an array of people. How do I take those people and return them in Nancy? And what kind of options do I have available to me?
So every action in Nancy actually returns a response object called response. But then we put on some. There's a lot of implicit casting going on the response object. So you can return as say an integer, and Nancy would interpret that as an HTTP status code. Or you could return a string, and Nancy would return that as the body of the response. Or you could return an action delegate that will be invoked for like rendering views and stuff. Say you have your list of people, persons, and you wanted to return that. You could. What we've done is let you write extension methods on the response object. So as long as you return any of the types that Nancy understands for the implicit casting or a response object itself, you can write any extension method that you want. So for JSON, you could do response.askJSON and just provide your list. And Nancy and the extension method would translate that into a JSON format and return that as a string. And because Nancy knows how to take a string and turn it into a response, it works beautifully. And we ship a lot of those out of the box now, like JSON, XML, images, generic files, to name a few. And if you want a different syntax or use a different, JSON framework or whatever, you can just write your own extension method or just return the string yourself. It doesn't have to be extension method, but that's the preferred syntax for a Nancy return message.
Whose JSON serializer are you using? I mean, if I have my list of people and it turns into JSON, are you using the built-in one or do you have pluggable?
We ended up using the one from the Mono source base. Because we don't want any external dependencies in Nancy. Nancy is basically a single DLL that you can use. We have everything in that DLL, and it's very small. It's, I believe it's still less than 100K, probably a lot smaller. So we ended up using the one from Mono.
And I assume that that's something I can swap out. I can swap out anything I don't like.
Well, you can add whatever dependency you want to your project and write your own extension method or code to do the serialization and return it. Just as long as whatever you're returning is in one of the formats that Nancy understands, you can do whatever you want.
And how do I? So that's how I can return data. I can return it in, I assume, any format I want, serialize it any way I want. RSS, iCal, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
What about taking data in? How do I get data out of an HTTP post?
In a Nancy module. There is a property on it called the request object. And from the request object, you can get to the request or the request body, which is currently a stream. And there is a set of extension methods for reading the stream as well, just as for writing to the response. And again, you could write your own extension methods because basically it is a .NET stream on top of the HTTP request, and you get all the headers and cookies and the usual stuff as well on the request object.
Do I have model binders and things to help me out, or I don't want to go too low level, but I want to understand, like, is this like classic ASP?
Kind of, if you want to. Like I said, there is model binding support as well, and it's there's a pretty good default setup for it. And again, you can extend it if you want to support more complex model binding scenarios. We also make quite heavy use of dynamics. So for instance, if you do request.form, it's a special dynamic object, a dynamic dictionary you have in ANSI. So you can do, say you have a text field called name. So you could do, in ANSI, you can do request.form.name, and you get the value out. So there's no, or you could do standard dictionary access as well, but because we use dynamics, it gets a pretty nice syntax for getting stuff like query string values, form data, posted form data, header values as well. But again, you can use model binding too if you want, out of the box.
So you actually, you support the notion of model binding, and you can refer to system.web.mpc, or do you have to plug that in?
Oh, no, we have our own model binding code.
I see. So out of the box, it's just one DLL, and it doesn't have any...
We're totally running on client profile, so no dependencies on ASP.NET or MVC or any of those frameworks at all for the core assembly for ANSI.
I see. But if I choose to, then I can take that dependency and go and do what I want to do.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you want to use, say, our Spark view engine, of course it has dependencies on Spark itself or for our Razor view engine. We have support for, so we use the Razor parser assembly as well. It's just the ANSI core doesn't have the external dependencies. So we're self-contained with model binding and stuff like JSON and request response objects and all that.
And I assume that ANSI is in NuGet, and folks can get it with install package ANSI?
Yep. There is a bunch of NuGets out there. There's for ANSI itself and for the different kinds of hosts we support, like ASP.NET, WFC, self-hosting. There's a bunch for view engines like and Django, Razor, Spark. We're adding .liquid really soon. So with a couple of keystrokes, you can set up a ANSI application to render Razor views and host it on WCF.
Very cool. All right, well, we'll make sure to put all of the links that you share up on the show notes so that folks can learn as much as they want to about this, and everyone can go and check this out in NuGet, and we'll also link to your GitHub and to your blog. Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us about ANSI, the alternative web framework.
Well, thanks for having me.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.